The month of May has always been kind of an emotional month for me. And I know it's hard for you to imagine me being emotional, but even when I was in high school and then when I became an educator, May always meant goodbye in a lot of different ways. And of course, it's also, this is the time for Memorial Weekend when we reflect upon those who've gone before us, whether we're talking about those who've laid down their lives for our country or those who helped establish this church that are long gone and that type of thing. There's just people that we remember. And so, anyway, we had our alumni banquet last night, which is always one of my favorite days. It was a little more difficult to sit in that gym when it was 96 outside, but it was good to see old friends and classmates and so on. But back in the days when I was teaching, and you have graduation, and the kids go out the door, many of them for the last time. There's some of them I've never seen since that day. And, of course, social media helps us to connect a little bit now, but I saw a couple people yesterday that I had on my Facebook friends, but I didn't recognize them in person. Use a current picture if you're on Facebook, okay? Anyway, graduations are all complete now for another year. Pomp and circumstance has been filed away. And since the royal wedding and graduations are over, all the funny hats are also put away. And this is graduation Sunday, kind of the reason why I was bringing that up. And it's been said a lot of different times as we're working through the Sermon on the Mount. I've just been amazed at how the plan that I thought I set out to read through this or to preach through the Sermon on the Mount actually ends up being applicable to the holidays and things that we celebrate. So we're celebrating graduation, we're celebrating Memorial Day, and today's passage, I think, really in many ways applies to both. Of course, I went to the South Harrison graduation, and I got to hear one of our former members, Vonda Nelson, deliver the commencement address. Many, many good points, but one of them that applies to today is the message title. The actual title of the poem that she quoted by Robert Frost is The Road Not Taken, but many times we refer to it as The Road Less Traveled. And it's so appropriate for college graduates, or high school graduates, I should say, who are looking down the road to their future, college or trade school, job or marriage or some combination of these things. And oh, so many years ago, whenever I graduated from high school, I kind of spent most of my life being a nonconformist. I didn't want to be like everybody else. Everybody else from Gilman went to Maryville. I didn't want to go to Maryville because everybody else did, so I went to Warrensburg. And about halfway through college years, I'd come back to Gilman, and I know I've shared this at some point before, but I'd see all my friends who were working at Trenton Foods, driving new vehicles, having money to spend, and I'm driving Dad's old coon hunting station wagon. And I just thought maybe I'd chosen the wrong road, that maybe I should have done what they did. And as it turns out, I was on exactly the road that I believe God wanted me to take. Not the same road that a lot of my friends took, but the choice of roads for careers and for education and for other things is not going to be the same for everyone. We've got a pretty short passage today, just two verses. Actually, the Marvin scripture reading was just about as long as the passage we're going to look at, but there's a lot in these two verses. And again, it's certainly applicable to graduates as they seek the road to choose. We got a new mic, and we're just learning how to use it, okay? So it's still a little bit crackly, but it'll get all worked out. Anyway, today's passage, as I say, I think it's applicable to all people. And the decision that is made that will impact, you know, not just your future, but the rest of your eternity is the most important decision that we can make. I got a testimony from a former student last night, and I'm not going to share it in total here today yet because I can see it becoming an entire message. But a student who was kind of how should I describe him? He was pretty ornery, and he came up to me to tell me about his conversion, and it was just incredible. And so stay tuned. You'll be hearing more about that. But anyway, we're going to look today at Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. I'm going to ask if you would and are able to please stand as we read from God's word, the words of Jesus. He says, enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. It's been 1 year now since I went out to my dad's house to find out that he'd passed away in the night. And while I love my dad and still miss him, so many times in the past year I would think of something that I wished I could ask him, for example. But Dad was the kind of guy who would look for what he saw as the easy way. And, you know, he would cobble things up and patch things up and think he'd saved a dollar here and there along the way, and then something would happen that would be even more expensive and that kind of stuff. And I'm not going to go into great detail about this, but much of the easy way that he chose to do things is part of the reason why it's taken so long to get the place in shape. Elsie and Isaac moved out there this past week, so it's taken them a while. But many of us, I think, choose the easy way. We choose something that will be less difficult at the time, and the broad way is it's easy. It's easy to follow the crowd and go along with everything else. The narrow way often appears too difficult to navigate. And for the 4 years that I spent in Warrensburg going to school, it might have been easier, like I said, to work at Trenton Foods and make money like my friends instead of scraping by with student loans and that type of thing. But you know, those 4 years were just a tiny portion of the 40-some years since that time. And I'm really grateful that I didn't drop out or didn't do something else differently, because I think it helped to shape where I am today, and I'm just very thankful for that. But what appears often to be the easiest way today may cause great problems for you tomorrow. And there's a lot of different versions of this quote, but I like this one. Wrong is wrong, even if everyone else is doing it. Right is right, even if no one else is doing it. And that's the kind of an illustration of the easy way, the wrong way, or the hard way, the right way. Verse 12 again says, enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. Most of us who are parents have heard their children say something like this to them at one time. Well, everybody else gets to do it. Y'all heard that before? And the standard response, in fact, I think it's on page 1 of the parent's manual, is, if everybody else jumped off a bridge, out the window, whatever, would you do it? And I've had some kids reply to me, yeah, I would, and that's kind of scary. But following the crowd isn't a new thing, and it's not something that's unique to this generation or to my generation or any other. It's been around at least since the time of Noah, because the whole world at the time of Noah was going down the broad way that leads to destruction. And Noah, if you remember, he spent over 100 years building this boat out in the middle of nowhere. And no doubt, people would come up and ask him, what are you doing? And he told them. He pointed them to the narrow way, but they chose instead to follow the broad way and probably questioned his sanity along the way. And then the rains, the destruction that's mentioned there in that verse, came. Now, I've seen paintings of this, and of course nobody knows for sure, but I've seen paintings that show the people, as the waters were rising, pounding on the door of the ark, which God himself had closed. And it's not necessarily scriptural that people were doing that, but it's likely, and I want you to hear this, that people sought salvation after it was too late. Now, with Noah's ark, with our daily lives, people seek salvation sometimes after it's too late. And in reality, this is what this passage today is all about. Salvation is something like those sales that you hear about on TV or that I get all the time on the internet for a limited time only. You know, buy now. You've got to do it today because it may not be here tomorrow. Well, that's maybe not true necessarily of the things that we see advertised, but it's absolutely true of salvation. There's coming a day, there's coming a time for each person on this earth when it will be too late to change your mind, too late to knock on that door. Jesus implores his listeners, and I think that includes us, to follow him down the narrow way instead of following the crowd along the Broadway. Again, if everybody jumped off of a bridge. Well, the reason for following him instead of others is detailed in the middle of this verse. Wide is the gate, and broad is the way. And that sounds easy. That sounds good. Do you see that last part? That leads to destruction. The way that looks easiest is often the worst choice. And I think God shows us this in subtle little ways. You all have been there, I know. You're getting ready to check out at the grocery store, and there's a short line, and there's a long line. And you get in the short line. What happens? It's always somebody who brought the one item in the store that doesn't have a barcode, and they have to go back and check on it. Or, you know, the one person who still writes checks instead of the whatever, and it takes a long time. It never fails. The line that I choose seems to be the one that takes the longest. Or we see the signs on the highway that you need to merge ahead. There's a lane closed up ahead, and there's one side of the highway backed up forever, and this side of the highway doesn't seem to have anybody in it, so you go down that one, and then you find out that that's the one that has to merge. And I don't know about you, but those people who go zipping by me in the fast lane, I don't let them in when it comes time to merge. Maybe that's not the Christian thing to do, I guess. I don't know. But we choose the shorter line, the easy way, so many times. And I really think these are little illustrations that God uses to show us the truth of this verse. So very often, when we choose a path that looks more comfortable, that looks easier, we find out that it leads to places we don't really want to be. I read a survey that said that 20%, only 20%, of adult American Christians said that living a life according to God's will is the single most important thing in their lives. And I want you to hear that again. It wasn't 20% of Americans. It was 20% of adult American Christians. Only one-fifth said being in God's will was important to them. That's scary, folks. And I want you to think about that. And I know we would come up with a list of things a mile long of things that are important to us. Our family's important to us. Our job's important to us. Our church is important to us. But none of those things really matter if we are outside of God's will. We need to be people who would say doing God's will is the single most important thing in our lives. If we lived our lives according to God's will, and please know, I'm preaching to myself as well as anybody else here. But if we lived our lives according to God's will, all these other things would fall into place. Any other path that we choose leads to destruction. If not necessarily eternal destruction for those of us who are believers, but destruction of our witness, our walk with the Lord, it can destroy those things. Still, that's not the path that most people choose to take. There's a country song for everything, that says, everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to go right now. And the reason that the singer doesn't want to go to heaven right now, he wants to party. He wants to have a little fun a little while longer, and then he says for at least 100 years or so. Well, unfortunately, that's the pervasive belief in our world today. Everybody not only wants to go to heaven, but everybody believes they will go to heaven. And I know you've heard me say this a dozen times, but all these funerals that I do for people, I've done them for precious saints who knew the Lord, served the Lord, I feel confident are with the Lord. And then people who never gave a thought to the Lord at any point in time, but their families always say this: well, I know he's up there looking down on me. Or I know he's in a better place. Or something of that nature. Almost without exception, they believe that their loved one's in a better place. And I'm sorry to be the bearer of this, but it's the truth. Unless they knew Jesus as their Lord and Savior, they're not in a better place. They chose the easy path. John 14:6, one of my very favorite verses and one that I quote many, many times. And Marvin read it to you earlier, but when Thomas questioned, how can we get there? Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And then this part, no one comes to the Father except through me. And anytime people talk about Christians being exclusive or thinking we've got a better answer than anybody else or whatever, that kind of stuff. I didn't say it. Jesus did. Jesus is the one who said nobody comes to the Father except through him. The original name for followers of Christ, by the way, was not Christians. That came later. The Christians were called the Way, and probably came from this very passage here. He said he was the way. He's the only way, the only truth, the only life, the only eternal life. No one comes to the Father except through Jesus. And again, that means the only way to get to heaven is through Jesus. Not through good works, not through observing the five pillars of Islam, or not by having your descendants pray you into heaven long after you've died. That doesn't happen. Jesus is the only way. The pathway to heaven goes only through Jesus. And it's certainly the road less traveled. But still, it's the only road that we should be going down. Verse 14, because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. Well, first off, if anybody tells you that being a Christian is going to make life easy, they probably aren't Christian, because that's just not the case. Being a Christian makes life more bearable because you know what the end result is, but it doesn't mean that everything is going to be just hunky-dory. It means that, you know, sometimes the problems increase. Sometimes the storms that Carolyn sing about become more frequent. The gate is narrow, and there's a lot of different interpretations of that, but here's what I see. It's not easy to go through the gate. And not necessarily because there's a long line waiting for it like there is at the grocery store, but because it's the only way to get to heaven. And all the while, the world is trying to point us to easier paths, to wider gates, to those kinds of things, and they think that getting through the gate is the hard part. So they go to the easy way, the wide way. But getting through the gate, folks, is just the first step. I'm going to have a baptism in the second service, and it's kind of an unusual one. I shared this with the Wednesday night folks, but she's not coming to be a member of the church. She's a member of a church in Ottawa, Kansas, and she got saved there, but they sprinkled instead of being by immersion. And she's a little girl that grew up in the church over here, and she wanted to be baptized by immersion. But one of the things that I'll tell her and that I tell anybody else, it's not just about getting wet and drying off and moving on. It's about living a life of following Christ, of doing your best to follow him from that point forward. And that's not easy. There's nothing easy about being a Christian. Many of you have possibly seen this advertisement in your history classes or somewhere along the line. I was going to look it up and have a picture of it, but I didn't. But here's what the advertisement said. Wanted, young, skinny, wiry fellows, not over 18, expert riders, willing to risk death daily, orphans preferred, $25 a week. You know what that's for? Pony Express, you know. And if they really wanted people to do that job, couldn't they have found one thing positive to say? Risk death daily? That orphans preferred, because that way if you get lost, if they lose you along the way, nobody's going to miss you, I guess. $25 a week, which is probably pretty good in 1860. I'm sure it was. But still, if we were going to advertise for potential Christians, you know what? It wouldn't say a great deal different than that. Doesn't have to be young, skinny, wiry necessarily, but, you know, to risk not death necessarily, but to risk persecution daily. To even though the pay is much better than $25 a week, it's eternal life. That's the payment for this. But when we advertise, if we were to advertise for people to become Christians, we'd have to be honest with them. It's not going to say guaranteed rosy future the rest of your life, guaranteed prosperity. Not at all. It's going to bring difficulty to be a Christian. The narrow gate, as difficult as it is to pass through, and the way that we will travel will be more difficult. But don't lose sight of this. The payoff is tremendous. The payoff is eternity in heaven. And I'm guessing in heaven it's not 96, and it's also not five below. You know, it's perfection. It's what we dream about. It's something that, you know, we could never possibly attain here on this earth. And here's one of the things that I've thought about this past week. Because, you know, we said goodbye to some people this past week. And when I said goodbye to one of them, they chastised me soundly. It's not goodbye, it's see you later. But, you know, Vicky heading back to Germany, and the Meeks heading off to some other foreign country, Texas. And, you know, all these things. In heaven, there's no parting. That's one of the promises that Jesus made to us. There's no more tears. There's no more pain. There's no more sorrow because of parting. What an incredible promise that is. Even though I have every confidence that I'll see Vicky and Matt and Connie and Molly again, I anxiously await the day when we no longer have to even say, I'll be seeing you, because we'll be there in heaven with Jesus, with all those who've gone before. The last phrase of verse 14 is troubling. It says, and there are few who find the narrow way. Shouldn't everybody in the world be looking for the way that leads to eternal life? They should. But a lot of them don't know about that way. Consider these things. In the population of the world today, nearly 70%, almost 3 out of 4, are either Muslim, Buddhist, Hindu, atheist, or some other unbelieving category, you know, some other religion. And only 31% claim to be Christian. And I think we all know that just claiming to be Christian doesn't mean that you are. There are few who find it. On this planet today, 7 billion people, most of them are on a path to hell. And that should scare us. That should spur us into action. Right here in this community, there are people the things that they worship or the things that they do have nothing to do with Jesus. And there are people that live across the street from us that don't know about the narrow way. How are they going to know unless we tell them? Church, we're called to go through the narrow gate. We're called to walk a difficult way. And I firmly believe that that means we should be committed to following Christ, not just popping into church once a month or so. It means serving the Lord. It means even serving the Lord when we're not sitting in a pew, that we should be looking, seeking out opportunities to draw other people to Christ, helping those who are on the wrong path to find the narrow way. I ask you to consider this morning which road you're traveling on. And I need to tell you this, even if you're on the broad path, the easy way, it's not too late. It's not too late to turn back around and go the narrow path. It's not too late to change your lives. My student last night told me a great story about changing his life because of a storm that he'd gone through. And again, I'll be telling you more about that because it was just incredible. But there are opportunities that God gives us to turn around and to follow the right path. I pray today that you guys are all on the narrow path, that you've all gone through that narrow gate, that you're going through difficulties, I know, but you know that Jesus is with you through those things. But if you're not, if you're going down the broad way, it leads to destruction. Please know that. Please consider what Jesus would have you to do. Turn around and go down the narrow path that leads to heaven, that leads to eternal life. If you've never done that before, this is the day. Let's pray. Father God, I just want to thank you once again for this time together. I thank you for each one that's here. I thank you, Lord, for even those who didn't come today, that perhaps somewhere along the line that they are serving you in some capacity. But God, I pray for this church, for each person that's here, for our visitors that are here, that truly you would inspire us to not just walk down the narrow path, but to try to take as many people with us as we possibly can. Lord, we learned once again, just in the past 24 hours, that tomorrow is promised to no one. And I don't know all the details, but I just know, Lord, that there was some young life that was lost last night. And I just pray, God, that we can see this as your warning to us, God, that we don't know what's going to happen the next moment in our lives. Lord, I pray that there be one here that has never accepted you as Lord and Savior. This would be the day that they would start the walk down the narrow path. I thank you, Lord, for providing us opportunities and second chances and 200th chances. I just thank you, Lord, for being who you are and loving us the way that you do. I pray that you would watch over this congregation and give people boldness, Lord, to follow you down that narrow path. I just pray these things now in Jesus' name. Amen.